It is often that indelible characters and names endure with the passing of time. You might learn about those unforgettable figures in history books, artwork, and media. But in the Pacific Islands, written history rarely exists outside of a larger scope. This is the ever dire need and subcultures of the Fafafina community of Samoa, where stories of its trailblazers, legendary figures, along with those known more infamously, merely exist through oral history. Welcome back to The Fala. This is the Fofola Lefala podcast, where we weave together stories of queer and trans Pacific Islanders from across Oceania. On today's podcast, we get to share the story of someone that was as fierce as she was feared within the Fafafina community. This is episode 9, Fierce and Dangerous, the legend of the notorious Delilah. And if you're new here, welcome. And if you've been here before, welcome back. We are grateful that you're here. Fofola Lefala is a monthly podcast produced by Utopia Washington, with stories written by Marian Malena, and I'm your host, Donato Fatuesi. It is now time to unfold your mat. While most Fafafine may have been known as influential figures, Delilah, however, was often synonymous with being notorious. Tales of her vicious demeanor and those frightening scissors in a handbag were spoken. She petrified the young queens with those lines. Shh! Nyakali ofisili! Can you answer the questions? Meaning, have you passed the test to dress openly as a woman? Shh! Esele polo ulu! You want me to shave your head bald? That was all scary as a young Fafafine. And I always hoped and prayed that I would never encounter Delilah in my lifetime. Now, for years as a kid, I believed what was said about her was purely an urban legend, until I had a chance encounter. It was 2008, and I had entered the Miss Samoa Fafafine pageant competition held in Apia, Samoa at the Tusitala Hotel. One of the contestants that night had a costume designer and sponsor who was also her backstage assistant. It was none other than the fierce and dangerous Delilah. Now, after several categories, Delilah would lash out and nearly beat her contestant up. The contestant was always doing something wrong, and Delilah disapproved. Although it never got physical, all of us backstage were completely silent, intimidated, including the contestants. And no one dared to interfere. It was obvious. Delilah was not someone to be messed with. I had firsthand witnessed the legend of the ferocious Delilah. Looking back now in retrospect, it was perhaps for good reason, because her contestant almost won the crown. She was first runner-up. Prior to visiting Apia this past May, I had been hoping to meet Delilah and catch up with her and her life these days. I had reached out to my dear friend, Miss Lesina To'omalatai, if she could arrange a meeting with her. And on the day of our interview, Delilah arrived in full fashion, with palazzo dress pants, platform high heels, large blade sunglasses, and purple hair. "Please, order something to eat," I suggested. She declined and opted only for an afternoon cocktail. Then, without hesitation, I blurted out what has lingered in Fafafine folktale for years. "The scissors. Was it true?" I asked. Yes, dear. I always carried a pair or two in my handbag in case somebody might act a fool in my presence. Then chop goes the hair. She responded laughingly. Do you regret any of your past behavior? No, she says. I have no regrets. I lived a very hard life. You don't know how easy you have it today. I was born at a time when you had to learn how to survive, even if you had to fight. I fought everyone, even some of the glorified figures in your stories, because they looked down upon me. Take me on a journey, I asked her. Help me visualize your past. Yet, how I had envisioned our conversation did not prepare me to grasp the roller coaster ride I was about to take. A life story that was swaddled in every thrill and chill of a Hollywood movie pilot plot. We hope you are enjoying this episode of Fofolla Le Falla. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. National Voter Registration Day is happening on September 19th, and it is a nonpartisan civic holiday in the U.S. to help get our families, friends, and broader community registered to vote. Do you need help getting registered to vote? We have a team of folks ready to assist you. If you would like to set up a meeting, you can visit us at our office at Utopia, Washington. It is important to exercise your civic duty to vote. Let's get you registered today. Born in the village of Leone, Upolu, Samoa, Delilah Seal was the fifth of 12 siblings. Her father was the sole provider of her family, and by her own account, they grew up poor. He barely made enough income to support their large family, and hardship was a constant struggle. Eventually, her father made her older siblings find work to make ends meet. As far as she could remember, Delilah knew she was Fafafine. While her mother accepted her with open arms, her relationship with her father was challenging. She found comfort and a companion, however, in her childhood friend, Patsy Bowisi, who was also Fafafine. In the fourth grade, she dropped out of school and devoted her life to helping care for and support her family. I enjoy cooking, cleaning, anything girly, recalls Delilah. I used to do chores with my lava lava wrapped up all the way to the chest area as if I were a woman, covering her breasts. My dad hated that. Surely, I would get a beating if he caught me. He forced me to be involved in with church activities to try and fix me. It was hard going through my adolescent years. He was tough on me. In 1970, her father passed away, and on the day of his funeral, she kept her entire family waiting. In true Delilah fashion, she showed up hours later in full makeup and a dress. I was ready for my debut. I felt a burden being lifted. I was free, finally. Her name was adopted after watching the beautiful Golden Age actress Heidi Lamarr in the classic film Samson and Delilah. Ain't no Fafafina have a name like that before, she said. That same year, she discovered a haven at Hollywood, a tailoring shop in Saleufi that was operated by Fafafina women from the 60s until it closed in 1978. The shop was once an iconic business as well as a safe space for many of Upolu's Fafafine community of the time. Delilah learned the skill of sewing from one of the owners, Miss Anita Schwenke. By the age of 14, she was making clothes out of her home. Eventually, she moved into a shack behind her sister's place and worked on her sewing from there. I am so thankful for the gift of sewing. I never completed school or had any kind of education. The sewing was a lifesaver to my family. It paid our bills and put food on the table. When the island nation of Samoa gained its independence in 1962, certain laws set in place during colonization by New Zealand were inherited. One such law criminalized the impersonation of a female by any assigned male at birth in Samoa. In those days, whawhawhinga dressing as women became associated with prostitution. Delilah's roommate and friend Sophie was known for pushing the envelope and was subjected to continuous police and public scrutiny. Her physically feminine appearance and living bravely in her truth provoked several women to beat her to death in the 1970s. She is often remembered as both a hero and martyr to the whawhawhinga community. Sophie was highly influential to Delilah, and her death deeply affected her. It was soon after that whawhawhinga sex workers were being accused of targeting outsiders with the intent to steal. Complaints were being addressed by visitors, and as a result, the police would intercede by enforcing the law. Many whawhawhinga were harmed and jailed during this time. It was such a negative impact that drove Delilah to become hostile toward her own community. She was verbally and physically violent towards any whawhawhinga she saw being disrespectful or engaged in what would be considered illegal activity. "I didn't beat them because I suddenly liked it," she expressed. "They were giving us a bad name, and I wanted to teach them a lesson the only way I knew how." In 1978, she was convicted of battery for assaulting a whawhawhinga and was sentenced to 4 months in jail. For the most part, she maintained a friendly relationship with the police through her impeccable street wisdom and humor, but it did not save her this time around. In prison, she faced discrimination, and initially, she was not allowed any rights as a whawhawhinga woman. When she was told she could not wear makeup, she objected and fought the system until she was allowed to do so. Behind bars, Delilah met a known drug lord who was serving time for murder, and they became lovers. But her lover was also plotting an escape plan. When Delilah completed her time, she became involved with aiding him. He managed to escape the prison walls with 10 other inmates while Delilah drove the getaway car. For 2 months, they hid in a small building behind a grassy area with bushes. Delilah was the only person coming in and out of the area to bring food. And one early morning, while walking to the hideout, she realized they were about to be ambushed. It's time now for another quick break. We'll be right back. What happens when twin siblings begin questioning notions of gender identity and sexual orientation in their early 30s? How does it affect the lives around them and those closest to them? You can find out by watching Deep Purple Wiggle, now showing at Theater Battery at Kent Station, providing radical hospitality, free admission for all. Visit theaterbattery.org to reserve your tickets today. That's theaterbattery.org to reserve a ticket now. See you there. The police have been watching her every move. Soon, a shootout would ensue, but the prisoners, along with Delilah, would flee. They found themselves on the road and hitched a ride with a truck driver who took them to her lover's village. There, they fled to the mountains. An enraged commissioner of police at the time, by his authority, ordered the officers to shoot all the escapees if found. Delilah, thinking quickly, wrote a letter and had it hand-delivered to a personal friend to ask the head of state, Susanga Maliatoa Tanumafili II, for mercy. Their plea was granted, and they all stood trial. Delilah was convicted of aiding the escape of a prisoner and was given a 3-year sentence. In prison, they didn't ask her to do labor work, but instead utilized her sewing talents for the prison workers and inmates. Her sentence was reduced to 1 year, and she was released early for good behavior. In 1982, Delilah would meet Tanya To'omalatai, who had relocated to Samoa after living in the U.S. for some years. Tanya was instrumental in the development of a Fa'afafinga organization in Apia, and Delilah's course in life found its road to redemption. They jointly became involved in the My Girls Club, an all Fa'afafinga netball team, and helped coordinate Fa'afafinga-based events. The following year, the first Fa'afafinga pageant was held. Delilah organized, played musical instruments, and sponsored contestants for many of the organization's events throughout the years. Their pioneering efforts, along with others, revolutionized the Samoan Fa'afafinga movement in Samoa, and it would lead to the establishment of the Samoa Fa'afafinga Association, or SAFA'a, and help bring an end to the female impersonation law, which was abolished in 2013. The ascendancy into organization and community work helped bring visibility to the struggles and successes of the Fa'afafinga community. Now, sadly, those of whom were at the early forefront of the movement have either passed on or retired to a private life. Delilah, however, has made no plans to retire. She continues to sew from her home. Her tailoring and designs took her to American Samoa and the islands of Manu'a as well. Her home became a haven for many Fa'afafinga she took under her wing throughout the years. The only problem she faces with her work today is a sciatic pain that comes and goes on her foot, developed from years of sewing. Her business took a hard hit during COVID, but thankfully, her siblings residing in Australia and New Zealand stepped in to support her financially when work was slow. Today, Delilah is 67 years old and is still occasionally enjoying the nightlife in Apia. But her presence these days is entirely demure compared to the ferocious woman that most may recognize or remember her for. Some of the things I've seen with our young Fafafine generation today, and probably I should stop there, but I must say, they should consider themselves lucky I'm a changed person. She said with a chuckle. Would you have any words of wisdom for our younger Fafafine siblings? Be respectful always. People will show you the same in return by the way you speak and act. I've always shown respect to those who were older than me. Perhaps I'm old-fashioned, but that's the way I was brought up. Just as our conversation was wrapping up, Delilah pulls out her government card and shows it to me. Look, Delilah is my name on my ID. I earned that. It's legal. Are you happy? I asked her. I am, she says. I am thankful to God every day for his guidance and blessings upon me. All those years, the good, the bad, the struggles, the blood and the tears, all of it has its purpose. All of it was worth it. Undoubtedly, while many Fafafine may identify with each other, not all have shared the same path in life. Delilah came from a generation that endured cutthroat hardship and was subjected to a level of mediocrity. She belongs to a vanishing breed of Fafafine women who, through unyielding determination in tougher times, was able to live her truth on her own terms. While her life lessons may have been gritty and brutal to some and would not fly in today's age, surely, she meant well. And all who experienced the wrath of Delilah either learned from it or became better. She is a survivor, a mover and a shaker, and a fierce legend to a different kind, all within her own right. That is Episode 9, Fierce and Dangerous, The Legend of the Notorious Delilah. It is now time to fold your mat. Thank you for joining us on Fofolla Lefala.